our theme of We the People. I'm still excited about this theme. I hope you guys are. But really specifically tonight, we're going to be talking about being men of God, men of God that act as God's right-hand man. You know, that's the title. Right-hand man is the title of our sermon tonight, God's right-hand man. So if you're taking notes, which you should be, you can put that at the top of your page or your note on your phone, God's right-hand man. You know, this comes from the Hamilton song, Right-Hand Man by Lin-Manuel. And in this lesson, we're going to be looking at scriptures that will remind us and help us see what is our God-given purpose as men. What is that? And what are we here for? What does that mean to be a people of God, to be men of God? And how can we really be God's right-hand man as beings that are made in the image of God? And so there's a line in the Hamilton song, and I'll try to do it justice here for those of you that might know this, but he says, we're outgunned, outmanned, outnumbered, outplanned. We got to make an all-out stand. Hey, yo, I'm going to need a right-hand man, right? That's one of the main lines in the song. And that is true for us as Christians, as brothers in Christ, right? It says we're outnumbered, outplanned. We got to make an all-out stand, right? And so the reality is, guys, is that in New York City, there are way more men of darkness than there are men of the light. There are not enough men of God on the campuses in New York City. You know, men of God in New York City, sadly, are way outnumbered, and Satan's having a field day in the city that never sleeps. You know, who also doesn't sleep is Satan, the enemy. He is constantly scheming and planning ways for people to be led astray. And sadly, Satan is outplanning a lot of the people of God in the city. He's taken a lot of people captive. But we must not be outplanned by the enemy. You know, I love the end of this song lyric when it says, we got to make an all-out stand. And it says, I'm going to need a right-hand man. And that's what God's saying to you. He's saying, hey, I'm going to need you to be my right-hand man. God needs you to be that role. You're plan A. You're it. There's no plan B coming over the horizon ready to go to battle for God. You've been chosen by God to be his right-hand man, to be his disciple. And maybe you're here tonight for the first time, and I want to let you know you're here for a reason. God wants you to be here. God is calling you as well to be his disciple. And he's saying, hey, I need you. And I'm saying to you guys tonight, we need you. We need you here, and we need to be men that want to see, okay, how can I do my part? And so, you know, the highest rank is usually the person who would stand to the king's right side, right, in royalty, if there's a king of the kingdom. And so even today, a person in royalty might be called someone's wingman or someone's right-hand man when they serve as really the closest person to that ruler, to that leader. You're considered the right-hand man. And an example of this, Mark, in the Bible.
Mark, there's a visitor here who's a girl. She's Davida.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Somehow I got knocked out of the women's part.
Rob, you want to do that real quick? Okay. Sweet. All right, I'm just going to keep going. But didn't mean to do that. All right, cool. So there's an example of this in the Bible in Genesis 48, verses 13 to 14, where Jacob blesses the child who would receive a greater blessing, but he blesses him with his right hand. And so the right hand of God really relates to this concept of someone being right next to God, right? It's God acknowledging someone's closeness to him, but also God acknowledging his authority. And so what we got to see from this is that, man, we're significant to God as human beings and as men. We're important to him. we have that close position, that close role where we stand by the king's side, and that we've received a blessing from God to have the opportunity to be his right-hand man. But before we dive any further, I want to take us back to the beginning here, all right, to our origin story as human beings, because sometimes we just got to let the scriptures remind us of who we are as humans and what our true purpose is. So turn over to Genesis chapter 1. I'll have the scriptures on the slides tonight if you want to use that. But again, us as the men and the women tonight are going to be talking about the true people of God, being true people of God. And so in Genesis 1, we're going to start here in verse 26. The Bible says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they should rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And so this is a pretty amazing passage, because when it says "let us," that's talking about God and Jesus being the us, right? And we're made in God's likeness, in his image. And we're the only being on this planet that has that stamp, that's been made in the likeness of its very creator. That's amazing. And so we're representatives of God on earth. What an honor that is that we get to represent his nature and be a people, not just with our identity as being humans, but being humans that are dedicated to representing God. And for ancient people that read Genesis, this is very clearly a passage about a garden temple, right? About a temple. And so for ancient people, their understanding of a temple was that in the middle of every temple, there would be an idol or a statue that was symbolic of who that temple was for. And so the god of that temple, there would be an idol of that god or an image of that god in the middle of the temple. And so the Garden of Eden is this garden temple that's for God. It's for him. But there's not a statue in the Garden of Eden. There's a living being. There's a living, breathing image of God showing all creation around the temple who this temple is for, and we're that image. Adam, right? Adam and Eve, human beings, were the image. We're saying we represent who this temple is for. We are the people of God. We represent him in his nature, and we do that through the way that we live our lives. And so that's amazing, right? And that's just good to know that when you read Genesis, that's the focus here, is it's about us and it's about God and our role of being his image bearer. How cool is that? That you get to show the world who God is. And so I just want to ask you though, how is it going for you fulfilling this role? You know, what is God seeing in your life, fulfilling this role as his image bearer? You know, are you excited about being a man of God, about being different, about being a light in this dark city? Are you excited about that, about being a man of God, a God's right-hand man? What do your friends and family see? You know, what do your classmates see in you? Do they see someone that's, man, that person just is representing Jesus? And maybe someone doesn't know Jesus well, but they're like, man, I feel like that guy is trying to be like Jesus. I just get that vibe from him. But God wants to be seen in us. If you're getting anything from tonight, you got to remember, God wants to be seen in you and me. He wants you to be his right-hand man. He wants us to be men who are passionate about what he's passionate about. Men that he can count on no matter what is going on. And that we got to realize that this is an honor. We got to be able to say, wow, I'm God's man. Like, he's chosen me, and not only has he chosen me, but he's with me. He believes in me, and I have this deep eternal purpose that I get to help people know God through my example, that I get to be a representative of the King of Kings to a lost world. That's exciting. And also to think about this too, is that you have God's favor. You know, if you were, man, think about if you were the king of a kingdom or the king of a nation on this planet, and you had the favor of the ruler of that kingdom, I mean, that'd be pretty sweet. You feel taken care of. You feel like, man, I don't got to work for anything. Me and the king, we're tight. He's with me, and I'm with him. I mean, that's just exciting, even just to think in an earthly example about a man, an earthly ruler, but then to think about God, the creator of the universe. But I think some of us need to grow in realizing God's vision for you as a man. And so, guys, can I keep it real for a moment? I'm gonna assume that y'all said yes over Zoom there. I'm gonna keep it real here. You know, people are lost.
Times where we get in situations where something could be really pleasing to the world or to our friends or even to our family sometimes, but I know God won't be pleased by that. And there have just been so many times where I've felt that pressure to
ask you tonight, are your actions showing God that you truly believe people are lost and that you're God's chosen instrument? Are your actions showing that you believe that? That you're chosen to bring hope to the lost. You know, I know for me, there was a time where my actions weren't showing God that I believed people were lost or that I believed that I was his right-hand man. There was a lot of years in my life where I didn't believe that, and my actions certainly weren't showing it. You know, even in high school, high school was overall a great experience for me. I became a Christian in 2010, my freshman year of high school. But man, I just feel like I could have done so much more in that high school to represent God. You know, I helped one friend become a Christian, but it was just this time where I felt like, man, there's so much more I'm not tapping into here in my role. But once I got to college, I went to William Patterson in 2014 in New Jersey. And that was a time where I was like, you know what? I got to stop with this. I got to stop looking at my discipleship like it's just some side gig or just some part of my life. And there was one day where I was reflecting on a quiet time, and I was standing at the top of University Hall, which is one of the bigger buildings on campus. And recently I just saw in national news that my school, Willie P, was in national news for a couple girls that had taken their lives. One in specific that actually I had a friend that knew this girl. And she had reached out to the campus kind of like health team and asking that she could get some counseling, and she did. But basically my school was kind of in news for not being a school that's taking care of their people. And so there's just all these negative things, but I'm starting to get in touch with, like, man, my school is lost. My school does not know who God is. And I remember just standing up there at the top of U Hall. You can kind of see the whole campus from there. I don't know if you guys have those spots where you just like to look out on the city or look out on your campus. But I'm just looking out on campus and I'm thinking, like, man, we got to do something. You know, we got to get a club here. We got to be known. The people of God got to be known at this school. It's got to be cool to be a part of this club. It's got to be exciting. We got to be different. And so, you know, we decided to go through the process, and we became a Hope Worldwide club, and we just decided to rise up. We just decided that, you know what, we are not going to just sit back and watch our classmates take their lives. We're not just going to sit back and act like we don't have a job to do or an honor to fulfill. And so it was so encouraging, guys. I'm so grateful for that day and that moment. You know, we became a Hope Worldwide club. We saw many people become Christians. You know, I believe in my time in college, about 10 to 12 men or so became Christians, which is just so encouraging. And some of those guys aren't faithful today, but now they know where to go for the truth, right? Now they know where to go to find Jesus. And same thing with the women there that became Christians. And so we just decided, as I was a student, that, man, we got to rise up. We got to be God's right-hand man and God's right-hand women. And so there's a line in this song, Right Hand Man. I love this line as well. And he says, rise up, we will fight for this land, but there's only one man who can give us a command so we can rise up. And you know, there's only one being that when he gives you a command, you better obey it, and that's God, right? There's only one being that when he gives you a role and it's specifically for you, you better accept it and you better live it out and you better decide to rise up like this song talks about. That God is calling us to rise up, to be the men of God that he desires for us to be. But I want to encourage you with some good news here. And the good news is that it's not all on you to do this all by yourself, but that it's that we're co-workers, we're co-laborers with God, we're doing this with him. And so Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it's on the screen here, but in Isaiah 41, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Man, let that just take the pressure off right there, right? I mean, I know a lot of what I might say, you might be like, man, I gotta do something. And yeah, we do, but we do it with God. He says, I'm with you, right? He says that he'll strengthen us, that he will uphold us with his righteous right hand. So here's the deal, guys. When you feel like you don't have the strength to be giving, God will give you the strength. When you feel like you don't have the boldness to share your faith with that classmate, God will give you the boldness. He loves doing that. When you feel like you don't have the self-control to say no to impurity or that habitual sin, God will give you the power to overcome that sin. He's saying, do not fear, for I am with you. And so, yes, he's saying, you're my image bearer. You're my representative. You're my right-hand man. But I hold you with my righteous right hand. He's saying, I'm with you. I live in you through the Holy Spirit. And so if someone truly believes that Jesus, the creator of the universe, is with them, is backing them up, then that person should look different. If you really believe that, you got it, man, you should walk with some sort of swagger, you know, down the streets of New York City. If you believe, man, the creator of the universe is living in me, I'm his man. And then we should look different. You know, there's one thing I've noticed about the lingo between Jersey and then coming to New York. And one thing I've noticed is something we say a lot is, yo, that hit different, or yo, you different, you know? And sometimes I don't know how to take that. I guess I'll just usually take it as a compliment. But I think people got to say that about men of God. Is in your class, man, that kid is different. I don't know what's going on, but that dude is bold. That dude is loving. That dude is different. And we got to be like, you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay looking a little weird because God is different than the world, right? We're representing a God who is different from our culture. He's different from the stereotypes of a Christian. He's different. And we got to be excited to represent that God. But I really do want to ask you guys tonight, are you going to rise up? Are you going to rise up to your true purpose as God's right-hand man? You know, let's not blend in. The world doesn't need more chameleons. It needs more revolutionaries. It needs more men that are actually going to do what no one else wants to do and help people come to know Jesus and stand up for truth. You know, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, we all looked at this in our Bible studies. We know this verse, but let's read it here. He says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once," and we got to remember this, right? "Once you were not a people of God, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And you know, Peter's writing this here to God's people, and he's reminding them, hey, there was a time when each of our lives had no eternal significance, no true meaning. We were captive by the enemy. We were taken captive. We were people of the dark, right? But then he says, but now we are the people of God and we have received mercy, and that we should be people that are declaring the goodness of God and that, and really what we've been saved from. That God has called us out of that old way of life, and you know what that lifestyle was for you. He's called you out of that life and he's called you to a new life, a life that's following the Spirit. And he called you out of that life, not just to say, wow, look, now I'm in this new life. Yay. But no, let me bring other people along with me. Let me show other people what their true role is as a human being, made in God's image, that we get to represent him and point people to him. And so I just want you guys to think about that for yourself tonight. Do you care more about representing your image that you've made, your role at your school, and just a name for you? Or do you care more about, you know, I really just want to be God's right-hand man. I just want to be known as a man of God. I just want to be known as someone who really wants people to know the truth, even if it's not cool, and even if I look different. Because I think what God cares about, what God looks at, is the heart. And he doesn't really care so much the mechanics of how you're going to do a Bible study or how you introduce someone to God, but he does want your heart to care about people knowing him. He does want your heart to care that you would care about representing him right. And I think we got to really go after that. And so we are going to have a time here of just discussion. You know, we got all the men together here. This is special. And so we're not going to split up into other breakout rooms within the men here. But I just want to encourage us in this time, as I have some questions here, I'll put it on the screen, but just to keep it real in this time. But also